Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining poets from around the world as we come together for a night of community and inspiration. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the man that makes it happen. Each of his toes are doing something important, which is, 10 toes is, that's a lot of things to be doing. 10 things at once. I have a hard time doing two things, one thing at once. This man makes me stand in awe. This is Mr. JT sitting across from me. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Doing
How
well?
Are you? Yeah.
Sounds like you've had a good week.
Yeah, it was a little stressful for a few days.
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of running around to do and paperwork to finalize. And
yeah.
Today it's finalized and it's fully approved.
So when do you start?
Tuesday.
Nice.
Online.
Cool.
Whatever.
I was with
that
the means. Same gusto as that. Minimum wage.
Yeah.
Online. That's awesome, man. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to be checking in with you that day and seeing how it goes.
Please. Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm excited. And also joining us in the studio for a third week in a row is JT's other half. Or,
he's only half the man.
Quote, or actually, how about this? One of the two people in the union of completely, totally complete people who just decided to get married. We have Christine here in the studio as well. Christine, how are you?
I was a little chill today.
Yeah, you're a little chill. Just calm.
Well,
it's like what?
I had a massage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did this massage say? Oh, it's not the French kind of massage.
No, not a massage.
Not a, a massage.
Not a massage.
Came from a man who went to put on shoes. He fell down.
There was no pigeon.
There was no pigeon.
No.
There was just a copious amount of lotion.
Yeah.
How interesting. Okay.
Well, I mean,
it's true. I just never,
you never thought
about
of it that way.
Yeah.
Without
it's a
tissues.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I just scared myself.
Let the nurse go for it. Okay. So, anyway, we're, it's been a good week. Man, I went back to school.
Yeah.
And it was exhausting, dude.
What? Already?
The first week back's hard.
Oh, okay.
And so I get back Monday morning. I've never done this. I woke up and I was like, screw everybody.
You were in a frisky mood.
No, not like that.
Oh.
That was me in 2013.
Sorry.
2014.
Okay. Got it.
2015.
2000-something-teen.
No. I have since mended the errors of my ways. Thank you very much. However, I just was really hard coming back, and I think everybody was feeling it. We're fine now. Now I hit my stride, and it's the weekend.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. But by the way, I've been doing this new thing where I'm doing a podcast every single day. And I've been doing that. I haven't done one today. And in fact, I'm going to ask our listeners as we go through it, if they have any ideas of what the topic should be for tonight. But I'm going to have to do it at Applebee's or on the way. And I don't really care. We can totally do it. It'll be good. Or maybe I'll even make it part of the segment and just record it here, part of the show, and like and upload. We're just going to make it up. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes. Yes.
If you're doing it on the way to Applebee's, please tell me you're not driving.
He won't be driving.
Okay.
No. No, I wouldn't be driving.
No.
I have to check.
And it's no harder than talking into your phone, your speakerphone. I can even do hands-free and do it.
And record yourself?
Uh-huh. Yep. You just hit record and put it down, and you just talk. It's that easy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking. I told you I am chill right
you
now.
You are.
No video. No video, just audio.
Light disconnection.
Trust me. As Lisa Pernarelli once said, I am a face for radio. Okay, so.
that she did.
She did say that.
I did not.
No.
Lisa Pernarelli.
No.
Okay. Lisa Pernarelli. Okay, so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to do several segments of poetry. We're going to have five unique callers each segment. Then we're going to do the long-awaited Studio X segment. I say long-awaited. I don't really know if anybody's waiting for it. Just making it up. And then we're going to do a return engagement segment. Also along the way, we're going to have more clues into our January 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. And hopefully we'll be getting some more of the poetic form of the month, which is haiku.
Yes. And
right. And
because the question was posed.
Yes.
So the rule for poems tonight, if you want to include the poetry form, it would be one regular poem and then a haiku. Or vice versa, but only one haiku.
Yeah, we're talking the short haiku,
the 17,
not the 700 line.
Yeah,
version.
17 syllable version.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that.
I think
that
makes a lot of sense.
You know, absolutely. Someone out there quickly. Just went, "Dang it!"
Well, that's fine.
Well, you know,
the table.
Cynthia sent me a message earlier about it, and I think that was something we covered. And it's something we hadn't really even thought about,
no.
But it totally makes sense. So we're going to go with that. So here are our two basic rules.
Yes.
Number one, we do no hate speech here. The rest of the world might do it, but let's just not do it here. And two, basically, we try to skew PG-13, although we're not in the business of censoring art. So if you have something really, really positive going, there's meaning behind it, we won't step in. However, if it gets gratuitous, because we have families listening, we might step in and suggest you do it in one of our After Dark segments, which we do the first Friday of every month. Those are the two rules. Other than that, that's it. It's a free-for-all.
Woo!
Put on your boxing gloves and your nacho hat.
Ding, okay. Ding.
All right.
Nachos.
Yep. I know. That's how I'm feeling right now, too. Let's just start with our first segment. It's going to be five unique callers picked up in the order they are, listed in the order they are received. Let me put it that way. The number is 720-240-9766.
Yeah, it's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Like a confused chicken on a treadmill, we're back with the first segment. I'm excited to do this. We've got some great poets lined up. I think I just completely blew Christine's mind.
She is really relaxed.
See, that's the thing. She's kind of giddy.
Nice.
It's good. Yeah. It's a good feeling.
Yes.
It's a good thing here. And we like good vibes, as they say on the Instagram. Good vibes.
Wow.
Hashtag good vibes.
Isn't that also a song?
Good vibrations.
Oh, you're thinking of the Beach Boys, yeah.
Okay.
All right. So JT, yep. You better watch her. Keep her away from the helium, man. Okay.
I'll roll the tank somewhere else. Right.
You milkshake drinking hippies. All right, here we go. All right, so we're going to go to a submission first before we get into the callers, although I'm really excited about this lineup we have. So we're going to lead off with the submission, go through the callers. Then after the last caller of the segment, I will be giving the three clues for the January 2018 Poet of the Month. But let's go right now to a submission. This is sent to us by Steve Berry, a great friend of the show. He has the... He has a short preamble that says, not going to be able to call in this evening, but I thought I might submit a little happy something. Happy New Year to all. And this is called The Old Man. Each night at the dying of the day, after he limps homeward, weary and worn, he peels off the sadness he wears like a bespoke suit, fitted only for him so many years ago. And lovingly mends each rip and tear brought by the cruelty of the day. With hands too gentle for this world, while savoring thoughts of his most passionate, if only, with whom he shared dreams so vivid they became memories. Longing for the peace that will come when he no longer walks the widening gap between what is and what might have been, but will rest along the granite above the pine in the serene forest of stone. And that was The Old Man by Steve Barry. Now, he submitted that through the contact form on the website, which you can do if you want to submit poetry, or you can also send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Either way, it gets there. Just put submission in the subject line. We'll be happy to read it for you on the show. All right, now that we've got that going, let's. That was a good start, actually.
Yeah.
Let's head to our number one caller. I don't think she's been a number one caller here before on the first part of the show.
That's true. Yeah.
We got Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama.
Hello, darlings. How are you?
We're doing wonderfully. How was the week?
I had a great poetry event every day, so I enjoyed it.
All right.
I wanted to ask a question. Are we supposed to do the haiku and the poem on our same turn?
Well, you don't have to, but it depends. I mean, of course, haiku can be a varying length. I mean, if you're doing the short one, you can do them both in one segment if you'd like. But if it's a longer form haiku, okay, obviously we'd prefer you separate them.
Okay, I'm going to do a haiku and a poem.
Sounds good.
And I'm going to do the haiku. I'm going to do the haiku first because I think that's the reason why I wrote the poem is because of the haiku. Okay, so the haiku is it's called "Any Poet Worth His Salt." And then I'm going to go straight into the poem, which is called "A Fate Worse Than Death." Any poet worth his salt would write history as he ought, not change the facts to what he thought that causes reality to be distraught. Yet if he does, then he ought not. In haiku. A fate worse than death. He raped and held them against their will, all for the thrill. 10 years he had his way. One day the girls, now women, made their escape. Even took with them the baby the rapist made. While in jail, he was now the one who would be at the mercy of the rapist's fun. So he hung himself today while on suicide watch. Why did he take the coward's way out? They needed his fresh behind to feel the wrath for stealing someone's youth and plundering his human catch. He had no heart and felt no remorse. He even said it was their fault for accepting a ride in a stranger's car. He locked them both away like used up sex toys, stuffed night and day in a closet, they'd say, locked away, only allowed to come out and play like an old toy in a box. He had no mercy, and he who had no mercy, they let him hang. Instead of feeling the pain his victims felt, did they give him back his belt? Did they give him ample time to pray as he ended his life that day? Certainly in a Cleveland cell, there were people waiting to show him just what it felt like to fall prey to an abusive criminal brutality. Death for him was more inviting. Death for him was a softer way. Today, death was his best friend that saved him from his fate's cruel hand, that punishment that he would have befell, a fate worse than death in a Cleveland jail. In peace.
It's a powerful piece, Mama. But it's hard to clap for it because of the subject matter. But done very, very powerfully.
Yes, that's a true story, and yeah. That's why the haiku was speaking about poets. We need to write about things and keep a kind of an account of historical facts, and that's why I did the haiku first. But thank you for letting me share. It was dark, but I'll be more lively on the next segment.
We appreciate everything you bring to us, light or dark. Thank you, Mama.
Okay. You're very welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Okay.
All we right. appreciate everything you...
All right, and that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, leading off the first segment. That's powerful stuff. Now, oh, the next person in line. That's exciting. I'm looking down the list here. I hadn't really gone in depth to it. Someone we haven't heard from in a few weeks. Let's go to George in Michigan.
Sorry.
It's okay. Hey, George, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. There and here.
You're there and here, or wherever that is?
Yes, wherever that is. We're never quite sure when we get on.
You know, I don't really know where the Milky Way is located, so, you know, I don't know where I am either. How was the new year, George?
It was good. I didn't contact you guys. I happened to be in Denver for 7 or 8 days, and I didn't think there'd be any open mics that you could be going to that. So I never contacted you guys, but I'm going to be there again in the end of May, I think.
Let us know.
And I'm going to be there. And then I think I'm going to be there maybe in July. At least I'm going to be as far out as Rocky Mountain Park. I think I'll come back down to my son's in Denver. So anyway, one of these days I'm going to meet you guys. And,
absolutely.
But, yeah.
Looking forward to it, George. Looking forward to it.
Okay, a little preface to this poem. It talks about a river and a down river and that sort of thing, and just a geographical setting. This area of Michigan where I live, and also, by the way, where Dennis lives, is called Down River. And all it means is it's down the river from Detroit. And there's a lot of history and commerce and all kinds of things associated with that giant waterway. So when we mention downriver, we can be talking about literally or figuratively. I wrote this one called Taking the River Down, Can There Be Hope for a New Year? And I'm prefacing it with a thing that everybody's heard. The TS, it's just part of a love song of Jail for Proof Rock by T.S. Eliot, and just 4 or 5 lines from that. Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread against the sky, like a patient etherized on a table. Let us go through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering streets. Let us go and make our visit. Okay, and then here's the poem. As a turgid waterway, this downriver used its pull. Its events dragged us all down in year 2017. If we cannot blame ourselves, we'll shift the cause to currents and pretend someone upstream is guilty of malfeasance. We'll use the dawn of a new year to justify new chances. We'll trust a different number to rationalize better fates. Some argue last year's horrors were nothing but reckless flukes. That loss of truth and principle was not other than a phase. So 2018 shows its face, an eager, beaver, hopeful grin. We're trained to bet on its nice smile and its unproved optimism. But I don't ask what you can do to quell what just has been. I ask instead how I might surge to trend us up again. End of poem.
Wow. Beautiful read, beautiful piece.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Thank you, George. It's a pleasure having you back, man.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I just sort of got sloppy and didn't show and a lot of some other things. Now I'm going to try to get into the Friday night routine.
It's a Friday night routine. Well, hey, you know, George, we appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we appreciate it whenever you can join us.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you hopefully during the return engagement.
I plan to. Thanks.
All right. Great.
Bye.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan, the second caller in our five-caller first segment. Now let's go to one of my favorite poets. He always makes me smile, laugh, or ponder, but it is his voice that I would wish to hear reading instructions at the end of the world. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Hey, Stan, you there? Hello, Stan? Oh, I wonder. Okay. I don't hear the thing that sounds like the issue, usually.
Hello?
Oh, there you are, Stan.
Woo. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine now.
I'm here. I ain't gone
All
nowhere.
Right. Great. We're here, too. This is great. How was the last week?
This is me. Is that you?
I don't know. I'm not even sure who I am. So well,
I thought I'd go ahead and start it off with a real simple haiku. Here's one for you, JT.
All right.
It is not just years that measure human wisdom. Sometimes it is miles. And that's it.
Nice. Yes. I would buy that. I'd buy that for sure. All right. Did you have another one to share with us?
Here we go. You guys still there?
Yeah, we are.
Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
No, my volume faded for a minute. I was thinking, oh, boy, more issues. what I'm going to be reading here is a little something off the Garden of Poetry and Prose. And it's called Bill and Bobby. Sweet tunes, great sounds, harmony all around, make soulful hearts pound when Bill and Bobby came to town. No hype, no spiel, no one-hit deal. Sound the heart could feel, sung from the soul, real. Bobby, oh high, an ever-rising sun, unchained melody moved you above and beyond. Peace, brother, peace, stronger than moon glow, message for all time, Bill's voice of prayer, mighty and low. Ah, but those harmonies, soulful, sweet, hypnotic, melody and feelings rushing to your heart, rhapsodic. You've lost that loving feeling. Get the tears flowing in those days. You'd thank all the stars above you till the rhythm would start to sway. Bill and Bobby, hearts on sleeves, blue-eyed soul like no others. They made it real. They made you feel truly the righteous brothers. In peace.
Wow. what a cool piece and a great read. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
Well, the word that set it off was rhapsodic, because it is about rhapsody, but I also checked out, it also has another meaning, which was rapturous emotions. That rush, you know, it's like almost overwhelming.
Right.
And there was something about it when those guys put their hearts into a song. It was. The emotions came. You couldn't stop them.
That's true, isn't it? Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're wonderful. Hey, Stan.
So I thought we'd do a little something light.
That's great. Love it. Love it. Thanks so much. We hope to hear from you in the return engagement.
Yeah, well, if everything works right, I will.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan. Appreciate you, man. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, laying down something great for us. That's awesome. Let's go from Alabama. I'm going to lay because I'm making JT move real fast here today. Sorry about that. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Cynthia, are you there?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I feel the same way as you about school, but pretty good.
It was hard to get back, wasn't it?
I really loved my week off, and I kind of resented having to be in the world again. I'm not quite on top of everything. It's just a little bit. Everything's a little bit off, but it's okay.
It's definitely feels that way for me as well. I found myself, you know, I don't like look. Lo and behold, I didn't like walking out and having to not be self-centered. And then suddenly, you know, I found myself telling a bunch of eighth graders, like, look, it's not my job to entertain you with the play we're putting on. It's your job to entertain other people.
That's perfect. I want to use that line.
Well,
it's your job to entertain me. You're on stage, though.
Yeah. Dance, monkeys, dance. All right. So what do you have for us, Cynthia?
So since it's haiku month on World Poetry Open Mic, I've got three haiku from a beautiful poet I really admire. These are a cover I'm doing. They're by Mary Crane Fahey. And I think I should just read all three and then we can talk about them.
Sounds good.
Okay, so this is the first one. Vermilion dawn breaks over silhouetted pines, hushed like pinions, stilled. And this is her second one. Stargazing blue spikes, call and gossamer whispers, butterflies alight. And this is the third one. Pewter sky, still air, filled with anticipated rain, thunder soft growl, and poem.
Well, lovely, lovely read, Cynthia, and Mary, I really, really enjoyed those pieces.
Yeah, those were good.
Yeah.
I liked them.
Yeah. I love what she does with color, like pewter and vermilion,
and
how it flows. It was very difficult to make haiku flow nicely without it being too choppy. I thought
That's
she did
true.
A beautiful job with the imagery and capturing so many senses in so few syllables.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for some people, confines really seem to bring it to life, and I think she seems like one of those. I think that's great.
There's no wasted words. And you know, she got sound effects and color and really unusual ways to bring out color, like pewter and vermilion, words we don't usually think about.
Absolutely. Well, speak for yourself, Cynthia. I think of the word vermilion all the time. Constantly. No, thank you, Cynthia. That was great, and she does a wonderful job.
It was.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and
of course,
talk to you next segment.
Talk to you then. All right, thank you. And that was Cynthia Kahn from Vancouver, British Columbia, reading three haikus. Yeah, we had a whole big debate on the print. Well, not a debate, we just figured out.
Yeah, it's haikus in America,
and I just get sarcastic with the z
at
the end.
Do.
Let's go to Kentucky's to visit with Philip. Hey, Philip, how are you?
I am staying warm. It's apparently snowing outside.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Is it? How badly is it snowing?
Well, for these parts, pretty severely. I mean, it looks blizzardy out there.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming down. Frozen cats and, you know, frozen dogs and so forth. Yeah.
Okay. Don't let them in if they're frozen. I mean, if they're
right.
Before
exactly.
they're frozen makes sense, but if they're frozen, I don't know, doesn't bad things happen after that? Isn't that like a Tales from the Crypt I saw once or something?
Maybe.
Actually, I am not advocating animal cruelty on this show. Let them inside. Let them all inside.
Right, I was just going off the cliche of it's raining cats and dogs, you know, but now it's snowing, so I don't know what to do with the cats and dogs. So what do you do with the metaphor here? You know,
I don't know. I think we've been trapped by our metaphors. It's not the first time this has happened.
This is why I'm not a teacher, sir, and you are.
I know. There's a few moments I was sitting there going, why am I talking about this right now? I mean, Philip, I made first graders cry because they were talking. The principal is retiring, and I explained to them what retirement meant because they thought that meant she was going to die. And then they go, well, who's going to be the new principal? And I jokingly go, I don't know. What if it's a robot? And one of them starts laughing, And the other one starts kind of just getting really quiet. And I keep joking, go, I don't know, or maybe it'll be a hippopotamus. You're going to have to learn how to speak hippopotamus. And the little kid starts crying, goes, I don't want to learn how to speak hippopotamus. So that was the week I had, Philip.
my first reaction to you, I made first graders cry. I want to give you a high five. I'm like, good job.
Yep.
Yeah. Them
toughen them up. That's right.
Life sucks, kids. Wake up.
Poor little kid.
I know.
I happen to speak hippo, and I will translate from my hippo speak.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. The title, and I'm making a nod to, of all people, Horace. Is that not audacious, I tell you, with the title, Lines for a Broken Ars Poetica. And here's the piece. Here we go. Laying secure under a half dozen blankets, tattered hand-me-downs, others just found or unwittingly stolen. Here, men shoveling winter from the YMCA front steps below my third floor window, covered by a ratty sleeping bag. Black out another existential dawn, pretending midnight's permanently fallen, negating choices easily as dominoes arranged in lines or mandala patterns. Muffled voices casually jawing between scrapes at December ice. Political complaints, sports scores, the burden of upcoming holidays when employed for unfair wages. My own schedule languorously open, drawing a minimal check from the state, monthly funds for sufficiently proven mental illnesses, cold seasons spent leisurely at the downtown art house cinema, feigning I'm on the nod, midnight cowboy marquee, nothing but a fake criminal. Periodic shuffling footsteps from the bare cinder block corridors, clumsy drunks return with this morning's brown bag, or lilting quickens paces toward the only payphone ringing beside the elevator. Lovers, shady drug deals, parole officer, desperate messages from one singular family member who refused to judge, oh, the prodigal son. Old Doc Hobart next door still tears off his cigarette butts, smokes them with quiet ferocity all hours, day and night, embellished by gentle church bells, calling all the forlorn home. Unashamedly bums from anyone, any brand, domestic, foreign, and those studiously home-rolled. His never abated residual guilt, some patient he lost decades ago on the OR table. Rumors that Victor finally got booted, so weak he couldn't wheelchair himself, defecating his sorry floors like an animal on stale newsprint, the glossy ribald pages from a borrowed porn mag. How truth resembles hyperbole, especially when it's this absurd, it's tearfully hilarious. Funeral parlor anecdotes, brief backward glimpses, remembrances from genuine lives, my naive hubris depicted, amalgams, more like failed caricatures who disappeared into unfinished novels left in boxes, cadavers gradually forgotten. Wasn't even 30 yet, but I had already been gifted with the implacable patience of those few who've lost enough to be content by one less day. And there it is, my friends.
Wow, wonderful, right? I enjoyed that quite a bit. JT, what'd you think?
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, solid wordplay there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys make me smile, and I will try to avoid these freezing animals falling from the sky, and I look forward to the return engagement and Studio X.
Hey, you know what? We're looking forward to that as well, but we're also looking forward to hearing what you have to share for us next time as well. So,
well, thank you.
All right. Well, stay warm, okay?
All right. Cheers.
All right, cheers. Now, I wanted to let him get off the phone because I have to bring this up. I kind of did a little stalkery thing just now.
Yeah.
And I looked up where Philip lives on a webcam. Not his house or anything.
Yeah.
Just the town.
Yeah.
That'd be really weird.
That would have been really creepy.
I don't really know if I should tell you guys, but I know how to get into the NSA. No, I'm kidding. No,
we don't really know.
Officially do not know, so the guys in the black suit don't come knock on JT's door again.
Would be interesting.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I looked it up. Now, I got to say, coming from Colorado.
Yep.
That's a dusting. I mean,
right.
You know, to me, that's like you go out and you're like, ah, it snowed. Brush, brush, brush. Go on.
Right.
Know? But I understand these things are a little bit different. Here's the thing that cracked me up, though. Because it talks about the temperature. It's like, well, it's 28
degrees.
Degrees, light
okay.
snow, mist. Humidity is 86.1.
Woo!
But here's the best part.
Nice.
It says, feels like, and there's no number. It just says F.
Well, I'm sure that's the case.
So, Philip, I'd be really curious to know what F feels like outside. All right. Love to hear about that in a return engagement. Okay, so this is the time where I'm going to share the next three clues for the January 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Last week, we gave three clues. Here's three more. Now, if you think you know who this is, someone's already gotten it before. Last week, they got it. If you think you know who this is, send me a private message. Send us a private message, whether through our Facebook page or through World Poetry Open Mic at Gmail or whatever. Don't tell everybody else.
And don't put it in the chat room.
Yeah, don't put it in the chat room. Okay, that just ruins the fun.
Yeah.
So here we go. Here is clue number four for the month. A secret marriage, a rift between friends. All right? That's four. Here's number five. A poet with dreams of a golden city. And number three. An end in chains, sentenced by James. All right. I think that was pretty straight up. I think it was pretty straightforward. Not that hard. But I would be interested to see what you come up with. All right. So let's head into our next segment. We need five more callers. Christine, what do you have to say about all this?
About what? The callers or?
Just being chill over there.
Or we just figured out Mike's clues. We just figured out Mike's clues. Because we're really smart.
I never thought about it that way.
What? What?
Mike's clues, as opposed to Blue's clues. No?
Dilly Dilly for that one.
All right,
here we go. Five more callers, unique callers, 720-240-9766.
At 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. This is the second segment. Let's go.
And now, your deep thought.
Time ain't nothing to a pig.
And that was your deep thought.
And we're back.
that deep thought was spot on, man. Yeah, let's just grab it. Can we just grab it? Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to stall. Ready?
Yep. Keep stalling.
Okay, here, I'm going to stall.
Stall, 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 stall.
Yes. I've got you down as number four. I've got you down as number four.
This is good radio.
I know he couldn't hear me.
Oh, was that? That was my fault?
No.
That should be a t-shirt. That should be my t-shirt.
Sorry, that was my fault?
Yeah. Or that actually, you know what?
Did I do that?
Did I do that would be a great slogan for my gravestone.
For your gravestone? Yeah.
Did I do that? Here lies Michael Amade.
That'd be a little weird.
I will say something my brother did. I love this. There was a band. He was playing kind of in the local punk scene here. There was a band that got fairly big and then just imploded within a few months called Blackfish. And James made a T-shirt that said Blackfish 2017 to 2017. That was fantastic. All right. Anyway, so we have four callers.
Yeah. Uno, dos,
four.
Tres, cuatro.
Now, there is someone. I have a submission from someone in the lineup here, so I'm not going to read the submission because she's in the lineup.
Oh.
But maybe we'll do it the next segment. We'll see. I'll ask her when she's on the line. But let's go first to the land of Missouri. But I hear some good things happen there. Let's go to Sinister, who's proof of that. Hey, Sinister, how are you?
I wish I knew what I was proof of, because I have no way to listen to you at this moment.
proof that good things happen in Missouri. That's what it was.
Oh, hey, I appreciate that.
Hey,
thank you
got
very
it.
Much.
You got it, man. You got it.
And sometimes you go, wait, where's the rest of my poem? I lost half of it.
Absolutely.
Mama, because if not for her, I wouldn't have been able to hear you guys. My tablet is down and my phone is gone. And
oh, my gosh.
She is an angel that allowed this possible occurrence. So thank you, Mama. I appreciate that. She is a sweetheart, an angel indeed.
Yep.
All right. Well, shall we proceed?
Yeah, absolutely,
gentlemen?
Man. Stage is yours.
Juxtaposing the pieces of odd. In shattered reliquaries, once sapphire-hued, eyes twins as interlocking, cerebrals chase, brilliantly subtle in the ocean breeze, find complacence till immersed in fevered undertows, waiting to welcome ends. Distractingly debilitating instances of disturbing situations ooze, spiraling video footage of beaten baseboards not seen, sewing tattered trousers below salvation's bargain bins, appropriated through exclamation of timulant-driven sin. Swell the eyes of lost youth amongst the confines once home. Intricately, one feeds off emotions where redundantly they live. Directionless, now faceless, quarantined in beveled glass. Attacks bruise once smiling face of vessel trapped in dubious cores. Racist scenes of bloodshed cranium and magenta southern shades, a turbulent diversion approaching toxicity rivaling industrial waste, illuminating cautionless revelry of the travesty that's befalling. Substance, anchors, and love now ruined, once etched in stone. These warring factions separate flesh in odious five-point restraints, spent now retreating to padded medicinal dredges. Palpable in realization, once cohesion lost and evades one's pride, ragabash and boxes rattled, hemorrhaging cortex up to tumultuous waves, elaborating dust-fed hygeras to cast omitted glory through pain. There, astoundingly bright conception bursts fervor, for I am derived, innovated by these refinements, all for which not shall I be defined. And peace, debauchery breathing.
There's that fiery delivery we remember from Sinister. That was great, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a little rusty. I haven't been reading a lot. I've been on the down low. I've kind of hidden in the cracks, to say.
Just understood. Sometimes that's necessary.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's been rather good for me. So.
All right. Well, we're happy you were able to call and share it with us tonight, but we wish you, the best of luck with everything.
Gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, Sinister. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. Throwing it down. That's what I remember. That's great. And the chat room loved it also. Awesome. Now let's go to a warm place. A place.
Warmer.
Well, it's warmish. Warmer. Yeah. All right. Let's head to Mary in Arizona. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Warm and toasty. And you, sir?
I'm warm. Toast sounds amazing right now, but I don't have a toaster in the studio.
Yeah, a little sugar. Come on.
You know, actually, JT, that's what would take the studio over the top. I got to be honest. I could bring an electric tea kettle and a toaster, and we could totally make this happen.
I can't have toast.
Oh, it could go all night, baby.
Gluten-free. We could go all night gluten-free toast.
Woo!
Yeah, electric tea kettle. Desserts. We're getting crazy up here.
High on Earl Grey.
Now, Mary did officially.
You didn't even giggle like that. Like my real giggle, like low giggle. Come on.
Well, Mary, I do have to say, when she called in and was talking to JT, she did ask for me to incorporate some sort of innuendo with the music. And I told her, you know, I've been preparing for a really long time. I've been working really hard and long on these songs. And I just, it's so hard to incorporate innuendos into this. So I'm not sure if it's going to be able to happen.
You got to play by the flash. You got to go like Robin Williams.
Yeah, like, you know, it's just
you
like
don't
you just
do that much cocaine. Yeah, you know, how he went. Come on.
Yeah, it's difficult.
No, I didn't. I never did that white stuff. I lucked out and I zeroed out a lot of different things. We're not talking about that right now.
I did a lot of powdered sugar. I put a lot of that on my pancakes.
Everyone's doing haiku.
Okay, all right. I'm going to give you the floor. Okay.
Oh, look at me just taking it over like a Leo.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the haiku, a little thing I threw together, and then I'm going to read a poem. I see you in my dreams. All night long I watch sometimes. So glad to see you. All right, now we go to my poem. I'm going to put a little music to it. I think one of my favorites, I could play it at the same time, but it would take away from how I can read it. I wrote the poem, in a fit of pain, as Tom Lear might say, in a fit of pique, but P-I-Q-U-E doesn't really fit in my, it didn't rhyme, so here we go. Pachelbel, Canon and D in the background, and I'm going to read this. Sometimes, sometimes I'm stuck between not wanting to live and not wishing to die. Wishing only for reprieves from pain paths endured and endured again, and now so tiring to tread waters with even a weaker strength of body yet more resolve of mind and spirit always, sometimes. But fortitude is so important here in these solitudes to reach out to like minds and kind arms understood within whenever strong enough to do so without sucking too hard on their kindness and brains and such, and to put the energy from our best thoughts and feet forward and know that any endurance is only a finite period and all periods are fairly short. But for the unlucky few that through their growing tree and ashes leave upon the burning that teach us all how to be humble. Because there but for the grace of light paths and games of chance go we, rising suns and turbulent waters and avoiding icebergs are only part of the process, and so sometimes it's pain. Finding honor and comfort in comrades with similar scars and treads important to us. For balance on these stepping stones, whatever the age and carbon be. And once we know that, the mountains feel a bit easier because it is so gorgeous now to get in the clearing and find a few that climb with me and among me and even above me with their arms outreached, a pillar and a shoulder and a warm aura to comfort me in my darkest. And we all have them. To have those great souls here in my very path give me strength I never thought I would still have left. Right. Left. Right. It's me. Summer. Amen. Amen. Alleluia. Maybe I was really meant to be a marathoner through rock-filled water. Guffaw. That's okay, I suppose, too.
There's a lot of heart there, Mary.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate everything.
Maybe it's like a high school. Like I'm hung up on the Shakespeare teacher, so I'm trying to do all this. I'm trying to find my voice. I think it was okay, wasn't it? It was all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if schools have a primarily just a Shakespeare teacher, but the
they should.
I talk about Hamlet all day, and everybody thinks I'm a social outcast.
You did everything for me,
Mary. No, that was absolutely a lovely piece. And thank you.
I'm going to sing a song that I wrote. This and thanks to you guys.
and all of my life and all of the things I can share with you. The next on the return one. So okay. Here we go.
Perfect.
And the case is showing.
All right. We're looking forward to it. Talk to you then, Mary.
Yep.
And that was Mary calling from Arizona.
I like Shaka Spiri.
Do you? You like Shaka Spiri?
I like Shaka Spiri.
Which is your favorite one from Shaka Spiri?
There's that Ramio and Julio.
I'm all about Hamlet because I love bacon.
Oh, there you go. And then there's that Micabatha. I love that drink.
Micabatha? Yeah, Micabatha. That's a good one. Yeah. That's good thing about Micabatha is it's always made as you like it. Let's go to Connecticut to talk to Barbara, who can save us from this literary nightmare we've stumbled into.
Literary nightmare.
You know what's funny, Barbara? Every time I hear myself talking, I think, who is that jackass?
That's what you sound like.
I love you, Christine. No one gives you enough credit, but I do. I love what you bring to this little male experience.
I think we could do a sizzle reel of the credit Christine gets for this.
Hey!
So.
Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. And okay. Christine gets credit all day. Okay.
Oh.
No, I'm playing around. Okay.
She probably does more behind the scenes than we know.
She does.
You know.
Wow, he was quick.
Anyway.
All right. The stage is yours.
Okay. So I have a triku, which I wrote, but I think the first part of it is really a haiku. So I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to read my poem, okay? I can't read a triku, right, because that's too long.
Well, how many?
It has three stanzas. It's three haikus.
Three haikus. Okay, that would be the poem that you would read, or read your poem.
I would read the first stanza of this triku.
Okay.
So, whichever. Okay. I will read the first stanza. Nobody said anything, so I'll do that. Okay, and it seems like I'm obsessed with the moon, but it just seems like the poems this week are moon poems. So here goes. The full moon rises, a light apricot orb held by the dark night. And now my poem. Okay. So my poem is, sorry, guys, looking for my poem. Okay, my poem. Come on. I decided to read it right from the garden of poetry and prose. And, of course, computers don't appreciate that you have a time frame. They don't get where they should be right away. So anyway, I was obsessed with the moon and am obsessed, I guess, with the moon, as a lot of people seem to be. And so this one is called, because we had two prompts, Rhapsodic and also Spiel, or Spiel, if you want to use it. It's a German phrasing. Becoming rhapsodic about a full moon on a snowy, frigid night. Here goes. The moon rose, spreading its brilliance, a rhapsodic vision with its scarred white face peering over the prosaic landscape. So familiar, its outlines could be traced blindfolded. Yet its rays transformed the scene, festooned with remaining snowbanks, into a barren wasteland, rested on the snow-laden paths and outlined the tall piles created by man-made machines, pushing it toward the gates, where it decorated them, rising almost to the top. And the few brave souls, mostly accompanied by hardy dogs, who relished the weather and the excitement of the feel of the snow on their paws. We passed them in our warm car and sideswiped one frozen dog walker hidden by the enormous bank of snow, just missing the person. We breathed a sigh of relief for all involved. Not to go into a big spiel, but the moon did not illuminate as well as the electric lights placed for the protection of the apartment dwellers. But now we don't light by the moon, as most did in times past. The ethereal moonlight with its magical essence gave the effect of a lowly lit stage for a well-tuned group of musicians intent on giving a rhapsodic performance, as if we were all awaiting the arrival of the conductor who would tap his baton for the music to begin. The sight of its illuminated sphere comforts me, for though the world may go through myriad changes, this remains as the cosmos remains, reminding me of the timelessness of existence. It shines upon all with no distinction. Anyone can catch its rays, see its beauty, and revel in the indescribable aura of its brilliance. And it can grip you in its power, as you are transfixed by the richness of its beauty, helping you to forget the spiel of endless garbage one must endure, and transforming my life. I'm waxing rhapsodic about its beauty, but is there anything to compare with the unexpected sight of a full moon on a snow-covered night? End poem.
I actually really liked that one. That was a very nice piece.
Thank you.
And I liked the haiku ahead of time as well.
That haiku came from your prompt for...
Haiku?
Yes. It was day 8 of prompts for April Poem Day from, I don't remember which year.
Oh, that's right.
Years.
Yeah, it was 2016.
2016, I think.
Yep, because every morning I was up at 4 a.m. uploading that thing.
Yep.
Every morning.
What a trooper.
Yes, and I did a prompt for each day.
That's right.
Plus, at the same time, I was writing a poem a day for Poetic Asides.
Very cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It was like that year was just filled with poetry, and it's so fantastic for me. So anyway, so guys, I'll see you in the after the musical interlude, right?
Yes.
Return engagement.
Yes, it. You got it.
And great show tonight, and just wonderful. Everyone was fantastic. So can't wait to hear more. All right, getting
off.
Thank
you, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Some really nice stuff. It's really nice stuff. Now, you know, I got to be honest, and this made me think of Barbara because of the conversation in the chat room and everything. I'm kind of worried about Lucretia. I hope she's okay. Last thing we knew, she was on Nantucket by frozen excrement.
Yes. Well, she was.
That's a precarious situation.
Yeah.
We're going to need to look this up online. Has Nantucket freed himself from the icy tundra
of poo?
The icy tundra of turds?
The frozen hell pooscape.
Yeah. We should look it up.
Pooscape. That's another band name right there.
Write it down.
You can tell Christine's in a good mood because she's laughing at all the dumb jokes.
Yes. Yes, she is.
All right.
Dilly dilly.
it's still not a thing. Anyway, all right, let's go to this is I've been waiting to hear from this gentleman here. So let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right, wonderful. We can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us?
Yes.
All right.
I can.
Perfect. Good. Perfect. Well, it's been a few weeks.
I have to say that I'm not in Michigan.
Oh, you're not. That's right. Where are you? No, I think I know, but.
I am in Florida.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm visiting my mother in Florida, and it's been a good visit, and it was overdue, so it's I had to make time.
Hi, Mama Dennis.
So how's the weather in Florida now?
Oh, nice. So sweet.
Oh, that's good.
It was a little bit cool when I first got here for them, but it was warm for me.
See, I was going to say for Michigan, it totally changes things. I had a few students who went to Florida during Christmas break, and they said, yeah, the heaviest thing we packed was a hoodie, and then we got there, it was the coldest it had been in a long time. So they were not happy about that.
It's all a matter of perspective.
Absolutely, as most things are, right?
Yes, they are.
All right, so we're going to give you the stage, okay, to do whatever you'd like, and then we'll talk after.
All right, that sounds good. Since you're sharing haikus, I would like to share one of my own before I read a poem. Since haikus generally don't have titles, I didn't title this one. It doesn't really need a title. This is my haiku. You soiled your lace there among the common weeds. Yet, stand proud, Queen Anne. That's number one. All right. The second poem I care to read, I'm traveling light, so I didn't bring a lot of poetry with me, so I'm going to read a cover poem. And it's by this very prolific writer by the name of Anonymous. I mean, he shows up everywhere with all different kinds of poetry. So I got to give him credit. Anonymous is one special writer. The name of the poem is The Man of Double Deed. There was a man of double deed who sowed his garden full of seed. When the seed began to grow, 'twas like a garden full of snow. When the snow began to melt, 'twas like a ship without a belt. When the ship began to sail, 'twas like a bird without a tail. When the bird began to fly, 'twas like an eagle in the sky. When the sky began to roar, 'twas like a lion at my door. When the door began to crack, 'twas like a stick across my back. When my back began to smart, 'twas like a penknife in my heart. And when my heart began to bleed, 'twas death and death and death indeed. End of poem.
Wow.
I enjoyed that.
Great choice. Great choice and a great read. And love the whole thing.
Well, thank you very much. So very kind, as you always are. And thank you again for being here and supporting this format. We owe you a debt of gratitude every week you allow us to share. And what a privilege it is. And thank you, Michael and Christine and JT. What a blessing you are to us.
Oh, thank you very much, Dennis. It means a lot to hear that, and we're happy to do so.
All right. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up. I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. And that was Dennis calling from Florida, but normally calling from Michigan.
That's right.
From the great poetic state of Michigan, because holy cow, they're great there. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
All over the place. All right. So that actually rounds it up for the segment here. Now we're going to be heading soon to Studio X. Not quite, but I'm grabbing my guitar as we're talking here and getting ready. So here's one thing that I'm going to be asking you to be thinking about during this segment, and then when we're talking during the return engagement, I'm going to ask you kind of what you think. I need to come up with a topic for the podcast. We haven't been asking about this.
Oh, that's right.
So the podcast has been focused on creativity and perceptions and in the world and how to kind of go about it. But it really can be anything we want. I mean, that's the cool thing about this format. I can do whatever I want on this thing. But it's kind of a companion piece in a weird way to this show.
Okay.
And it always feeds back into this show. So if you guys have any ideas when we talk during the return engagement, let me know. I mean, it doesn't matter how off the wall they are. I might be able to figure out something with it. So,
spiders wearing roller skates.
Done.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. In the meantime, let's go to Studio X, and let's see how this is going to turn out today. You ready?
Okay.
Ready to take a breath?
Breathe in.
Squeeze.
Breathe out.
Unsqueeze.
Who forgot to turn on the heater?
Sorry.
Oh, you can see your breath.
It's cold enough to drop some iguanas around here.
Poor tree chickens. Those are the confused chickens on a treadmill.
Yep.
Aha.
Actually, really, any chicken on a treadmill is a confused chicken on a treadmill. Just going to be honest here. Don't you think?
Probably.
I'm going to do something.
Ooh, that's nice and rich.
Yeah.
He's expensive?
I meant it the other way, like, hey, rich sound.
I may be cheap, but I'm always expensive. That's the truth. All right, here we go. So, JT.
Yes?
A few years ago in music history, something happened. Something pretty significant happened. What do you think? We were talking about it before.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody what it is? Just remind them.
A few years ago, a great musical artist. I can't even say it. Wow.
He's getting checked
passed
up.
Away. David Bowie.
Yeah.
And
My younger brother's named after him.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's in itself. David Bowie was great.
Yep.
But I find myself more of a fan of David Bowie than any individual David Bowie song.
Yeah, I can understand that. Totally understand that.
There's a phrase he had said, and I did hear a little snippet. Because you were telling me there's a documentary on, what is it, HBO or what?
Yeah, it's on HBO. It's the last 5 years.
Last 5 years of his life. And there's one little clip that I had seen of it where someone asked him what being a rock star was like. And it was something to the effect of, it felt like you were in a very luxurious mental hospital where you always had minders following you around, and then occasionally they push you on stage where you make money for everybody but yourself.
Yep.
And I think that was such a great, great description. But I'm actually not going to start with the David Bowie song.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not going to do this is that I've been thinking a lot, and this will sound morbid, but I've been thinking a lot about the nature of death and what destruction is, but not in a dark way, just more in like contemplative is the word I was looking for. So this song was written about watching someone dying in a hospital room, and it made me think about kind of what the process is like. So this is called One Step Closer. I haven't played this in a very long time. Let's see how it goes. Around the corner from anything that's real, I cross the road from home. I'm under the bridge and the riptide is taking everything I call my home. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing. I'm on an island in a busy intersection. Can't go forward now, can't turn back. And see the future, it's getting away from me. Just watch the taillights glowing. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing. To knowing. Hanging out to dry with my old clothes. Fingers still red with the prick of an old rose. Well, the heart that hurts is the heart that beats. Can you hear the drummer slowing? One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing, to knowing. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing. One step closer to knowing, to knowing, to knowing. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. So that was a very low-key song. Now, I don't know. Christine,
yeah,
I may ask you to help me adjust this screen here at some point because I need to try to do this. Or I might just take a very dramatic pause in the middle of the song. That's also very possible. Here we go. Control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You really made the grade. And the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. It's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in a most peculiar way. And the stars look very different today. Tin can far beyond the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do. Though I pass 100,000 miles, I've been and I think my spaceship knows which way to go. Tell my wife I love her very much. She knows. Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead. There's something wrong. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear? Planet Earth is blue, and All right. Well, there we go. Butchering Space Oddity 2 years after his death. Thank you all for listening. We're going to get ready and go to the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to call in can call in. And if you've already called in, you want to share again, feel free. It's 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Like a red dragon making a sandwich, we're back in the return engagement.
That doesn't sound healthy.
Well, you know, it's metaphorical.
No, what's metaphorical is
The metatarsal?
No.
It's a metaphorical metatarsal. Marsupial metatarsal.
What the hell is wrong with you?
He's just saying words. I'm just kidding.
Igloo. Eskimo. See? You can do it too.
Clinkay.
What movie was that a reference to? Okay.
Wow. Okay. What's metaphorical?
I forgot now.
I'm sorry.
Never mess with the affairs of a dragon.
That's true.
For you are crunchy and taste good with ketchup.
And that's why I had the sandwich.
You put ketchup on your sandwiches?
It depends on what's on the sandwich. If it's crispy humans.
Ew.
Should I not have admitted to that?
Probably not.
Okay. Hey, we've got 8 great callers lined up here. We're going to go to the natural starting place, which happens to be the unofficial state slogan of Kentucky. Let's go visit Philip.
There he is.
Hello, Philip. How you doing?
I am present, sir. Can you hear me now?
I can definitely hear you now. Welcome to the return engagement segment.
Oh, well, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course.
Yes, sir.
No, go ahead.
You go first. No, you. No,
I was just going to ask you what F felt like outside.
Right. It feels like F. Is that really what it said when you were stalking me?
I looked up your town and EarthCam, uh-huh. And it usually has the temperature and the humidity and feels like, and it was just F. So that's
just F. It feels like F.
Yeah, it feels like F. I'm like, I felt like F a few times before.
I guess that's better than Kelvin, feels like K.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know if you saw where I threw out there as a potential topic, but how to come down, how to, after you get all your synapses firing, how to relax after you've done something creative.
I could do that. I could do it while relaxing, Philip, and it would be the most chill, a.k.a. boring podcast of all time, but it would be great, and I think I'm going to do that one. If I don't do it today, I will do it in the next few days. That's a great idea.
I was just throwing it out there. I mean, you're on a blistering pace, man. I mean, you're doing like one a day. That's a lot.
Man, I'm only like 10 days in, just a few days in.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, like I listened to you one day, and then like I caught you like a day like later or a couple of days later, and it was like 5 podcasts that I missed, and I'm like, wow, you just. You're rolling right on through there, buddy.
Hey, well, thank you. I'm trying. There's a lot more to it than it's not really about the podcast, if that makes sense. It's more about forcing a daily practice in front of the world.
Yeah, well, that's admirable and it's difficult. I mean, just for my own writing practices, I know how challenging that can be.
It can be hard.
Anyway,
I appreciate it.
Kudos
thank you.
To you, sir. Yes.
Thank you.
I will get to it. I think I read this one last week, but I just feel like reading it again, so I will. And it got a lot of, nice thumbs up and hearts and likes and so forth on Facebook. This one is called Transcriptions from a Broken Typewriter. And here we go. Eve brings back the words, Brinks at a lovely elsewhere, Hubble's limit, event horizons, desires for a single poem, even ones without worth, unfulfillable stare at something nondescript, gradients of nonpareils, limitless seductions among the selfless, Congress with the mind, psoriasis of the superego, dead ends and littered alleys after a body's abandonment, names lost in green wildernesses. Saunter on beneath black skies, beyond still crows and dim stars. Slept in winter mires, spat blood in fresh snow, fingered into new alphabets, symbols with no reciprocal, emblems of a stained conscience, such and such later regretted, recorded, tallied for stories collectively touted, progenitors and their cruel propaganda. Seep the voices beneath earth, truth into the incredulity of a page, logos arisen above the breathless. And there it is, from the snowy world of Lexington, Kentucky.
Logos above the breathless. I think that's something we could use right now, actually. No, Philip, that was great, man. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate all you do, Michael, JT, and Christine, all of you guys. You know, you're wonderful. You really are. And you make me feel less alone in this world. I tell you that truly. And thank you so much. And I look forward to next Friday's event.
Hey, yes. We're looking forward to it also. And, Philip, we appreciate you as always, man. And always love it when you send stuff, send music and all that. So please don't stop.
Okay, all right. Big hugs to you all.
All right. Hugs to you as well.
Cheers.
Thanks, Philip. Cheers. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Leading off the segment, some solid stuff, as always. Grown to expect it.
I think I figured out why it just says F.
Why is that?
Because it's so cold for that area, it just broke. That was it.
It's
sorry,
like,
I'm slow.
I just picture, you know what I picture, is a guy whose job it is to manually input the temperature, and he's covered in a parka, and his beard is covered in frost, and he's crawling across the snowy tundra, this field, and he gets to the very end and he's like, reaches up to hit, you know, 28 degrees, and he falters at the last second as he's trying to input it, and he falls over and it just resides F.
Like the castle. Argh.
Yes.
No, okay. It's more in the back of the throat.
He must have typed it in while he was dying. Must have died
who
while carving
type it in while they die. Sorry.
All right.
Wow.
Let's get out of our own little like this is the self entertainment segment.
It is.
Let's head now to Sinister, who's on fire earlier tonight. Let's go to Sinister in Missouri. Hey, Sinister.
Hi, y'all.
You there?
Jacked up there on the song. I actually have a poem that I wrote with that in mind, and man, yeah, Ziggy Stardust. My wife questioned if I was having a Ziggy Stardust moment myself, being so sinister spittle and no one else. And I'd say yes, probably so. That would be the truth.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. I mean, I've experienced my own moments of that sort of thing as well in life.
Yeah, hey, he exemplified it, though.
He did.
And extraordinary way that not many other people except for Jim Morrison, who was just Jim Morrison,
yeah,
ever did.
Sure.
All right. I got something a little in that vein. We're going to call it. It's called Nightmare's Slave, when y'all are ready.
Whenever you're ready.
Stretching sinew into a web to save you. Delay not. The shooter's gallery awaits. Water down highs and light your cares away. Vacuum sanguine wine fills the display. Erratic rush as breath escapes the lungs. Blissful euphoria enlightened with a fuck. Exercise, deviant sexual pulsating craze. Eruption like no other comes her way. Endorphins rage. A rash of self-destruction, backsliders will play. And tap shoes upon razors, crystallized rails. Motivation is failing when churning like this, compounded by tolerance equaled in weight. Mirrors repetitively shifting on vague, melting faces. Sores oozing, left open, primordial waste. Rotating molars lending to swelling of tongue. Serrated taste buds cringe as they pus. Things change. Debt elevates like scars you embrace, swimming in blowouts and creditors' fangs. Mounting pressure on fault lines that quake, closed off from a world which they can't relate. Sweeping them off into black holes of wetted dreams, narcosis reeling, spiraled our nightmare slaves, dissipating pain. The Debauchery breathing in peace. not close to a haiku as you're going to get me to go.
No, man, I love the flow on that one. That was really really solidly constructed.
Thank you.
Yeah, great read, man.
That's an older one, actually, from about 2 years ago. So.
Oh, no kidding.
I don't think I've ever read that one.
I don't remember hearing that one, at least, you know, here in the past. So, Sinister, it's great, man. Thanks so much, and it's great to hear your voice and great to have you on the air.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Good night.
We'll see you next
good
time.
Night, Christine.
All right. See you later. Good night. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri, laying it down, flipping it over, putting some cheese on it.
Are you hungry?
Serving it to I'm starving.
I just noticed we got
it.
I
haven't eaten it all today.
When he starts talking about food in any form, you know he's just hungry.
I'm just going, See, I don't get hangry. I'm the guy, and I do this. I read recipes or restaurant reviews while I'm eating. I don't know what that is. I'm really into it. I've done it since I was like 14 years old.
Are you pretending you were eating something else or wishing it was?
No, it's just a full out. No, I mean it's nothing like that direct, but that means that to me food is also an intellectual exercise, everything at the same time, which is why I start talking about things like corn dogs, even though I don't want a corn dog. Okay.
Blech.
Yep. Corn dogs. Corn dogs, Jackie. Corn dogs for all these people. All right. Let's go to a place that has good food and probably doesn't rely on corn dogs to feed all these people.
Everything.
Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, for Mama Ladeji.
Okay.
Hey, Mama.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, wonderful.
I wanted to do a piece, but I don't know. It's not racy, but I think it's a piece to young girls. That they should wait until they're married.
Well, I think that should be probably fine, right? Mama,
okay,
we trust you. We trust you, Mama.
Okay, well, if you think it gets a little too deep, you can cut it off. But the background is Elton John.
All
and
right.
It's a track. So I want you all to hear it. And I just wanted to tell you that y'all aced it over there with that song, man. It was hair-raising. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got to send a link. You got to send a link to your daily broadcast so we can hear it.
All right, I will do so.
Okay, here we go. I got it pulled up here. It's called Black Lace, and here we go.
Hello, everybody. This is Ola Deji, and I wanted to do a poem, and the background music will be Elton John. Instrumental version, Sacrifice. And the name of my poem is called Black Lace. I rubbed my feet together, trying hard not to rush in. As Grandma said, only the foolish do. Treading lightly while trying to remember all the clues. Anticipation turns into a burning desire. And as I stand in my black lace, my red satin gown is dropping to the ground. My entrance was grand. I let him do the rest. As he finishes getting me undressed, he seizes the moment as my caramel treat oozes through my peekaboo lace. I was now imprinted in his mind like indelible ink. Concerning ourselves with no other thing but the excursion of ecstasy of which we were about to embark. He removes my black lace, leaving me fully exposed. Forgetting that Mama said, always leave something to the imagination. Fully exposed, I hope I did not mess up. There was nothing left to be imagined now, except how it would feel with him inside of me. Smooth, silky, soft, and vulnerable. I stood there naked, raw, in the bus, about to give him my thing, my stuff. I felt chilly, giggly and silly, and his eyes, they consumed me. It was then that he moved in with those kisses. Oh, those kisses. Each one warmed me. His lips danced all over my body. This was the thrill of letting him catch me. Grandma said, let him catch you. Never let him think you caught him. His shoulders were wide and strong. He leaned in to handle me. Though he was gentle, his grip was stern. His eager arms full of strength. His body excited me. Once he put his key in my keyhole, it opened me up to another world, a world I never knew was inside of me. I finally gave him that thing, and then he went on to please me. And oh, how he did please me. It was unspeakable. Use your imagination and think. I stood there, naked, for the very first time. It was unspeakable. A poet, enchanted, stands naked and in love with a lover doing all it takes to make her happy. I succumb, surrender, and I whisper a poem in his ear. You have devoured me, my king. You have unlocked my jewels. I will always be yours. No one else will ever unlace my black lace. Thank you.
John. That's Elton John.
Very, very nice. Now, Mama, I was surprised you said Elton John. It might have been the Elton John song, but I'm like, I don't remember this being an Elton John performance. But then we realized what it was.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
To all you young ladies, to all the young ladies, wait until you're married.
We got and more young ladies listening to this than Justin Bieber concerts. No. No. Mama, thank you. That was lovely.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, with a message to all the young ladies out there, which we know there are so many young ladies who listen to this show.
All right. I don't know. I don't know.
It's a joke.
Why
it's
did
a
that
joke.
Go really dark and weird all
That's
of
because
a sudden.
Everybody sat there and looked at each other like it was weird and dark.
That's true.
The whole
that
reason
is
it
true.
Did that.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We could make anything like that. Like, for instance, I could say, that's a great coloring job you're doing there.
Wow.
Yeah, that got weird.
Okay.
Speaking of which, by the way, I came up with that during the last call segment. That is also going to be on my gravestone. Here lies Michael Amade. And then, did I do that? And then in underneath it, that just got weird. Or sorry if that was weird. That I think that would be the best one.
Sorry if that was weird.
Sorry if that was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to our next caller. It's going to be Barbara in Connecticut.
Oh, my God. I have to follow Mama?
I know.
How can you follow that?
I don't know.
Just a moment. You are so awesome. I could listen to you. I would watch you on stage wherever you are. Unfortunately, you're in Cleveland. But if you ever get to Connecticut, please let me know so I can go see you. You're amazing.
She is.
Absolutely amazing.
Now let me, Barbara, not to switch subjects to something completely different, but have you been following this whole thing about the frozen hellscape of excrement around Nantucket?
No.
Well, it was what Lucretia was talking to us about. I was just wondering what happened. I was just kind of, it's not a situation you hear about that often.
I
can look it up. I can look it up. You don't have to do it.
I imagine what happened is, somebody got disgusted with it and called the newspapers. They took photos, and then sanitation came and cleaned it up.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, it's probably true. That's what happens. People get disgusted enough. They call the newspapers or the news.
That's true.
Shows, and they come and they clean it up because, you know, it's too embarrassing for the administration.
It's too embarrassing.
Yes.
I'm really embarrassed by these slushy waves of excrement. Can we get someone in here
That's
to clean
right.
this
well,
up?
Well, you realize they're coming from the Oval Office, so.
Yeah. We don't need any broken sewage pipes for that. Hey, let's move on. Barbara, I'm going to give you the stage, Barbara, and we'll talk after.
After Mama, this is hard, but.
Hey, just forget about that and do your own thing. You're great enough on your own. You're enough, Barbara.
All right. I'm not really a Tolkien fan, but this actually fitted, and I think it might have been a poem that was prompted by the garden, but I'm not sure where this came from. And I think this poem is, I'm not sure, no, it's not in my book. So it's in the anthology, the World Poetry Open Mic 2017 anthology, and it starts out with a quote by Tolkien. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. J.R.R. Tolkien from the Fellowship of the Ring, and my poem is called Measuring Time. How is time measured out in our lives? Do we count the endless days of staring at empty coffee cups and wondering where our destiny will lead us? Do we trot a path and count the many steps we take
to reach our goal, even if the path winds sideways and we take a detour? Do we add in all the bright moments when life brought us a cavalcade of bounties and we supped on them until we were so full our bellies hurt, and then we paid the price afterward of sorrow and pain as the consequences stabbed like a well-honed knife into the scabbards of our souls? In the random universe where atoms accidentally bump into each other and cause a firing of ions to create feelings and attachments, is there a rhyme or reason for our existence as we blithely decide on pastimes to fill lonely crevices unearthed as we knocked into one another and found a lacking or a distance from each other? How to decide how to spend one's counted moments when the decision creates another quandary and we find ourselves sinking deeper into the slime of living in the modern world, focusing on the unnecessary and spending wasted hours contemplating foolish endeavors, squandering our precious energy on scurrilous creatures who suck the very marrow of our soul, feeding on us until we lose focus and drift aimlessly in a sea of useless rubbish perpetuated by the greed and hypocrisy of those who have the means to do it? Should we be slaves to the media and spend our time concerned about the well-being of our world and the innocence within it, or do we strive to promote ourselves and gather more wealth and accolades in a cavalcade of greed and avarice? Or should we celebrate the pleasures found in the sparkle of the sun on cornflower blue waters? Pondering how to spend one's time becomes a challenge because who knows how long we will reside on this planet? Would it be better to know one's return date to nothingness when we are born so we can see how much time we have for our dreams and plan accordingly? Or should we all decide to be the emperors of our destiny, traveling where we may and sharing our life with as many as we can so we connect with the rest of the world and maybe find new life far from here? Maybe it's better to share the thoughts within our heads, the ideas percolating in our brains for others to see. Perhaps, though we may not think this, our ideas will spark the thoughts of others and be welcomed as guests to nestle in the minds of strangers as dainty tidbits and delicacies, since we have long grown tired of keeping them to ourselves. End poem.
Barbara Errantrue, I am not a conjurer of cheap tricks. I've been wanting to say that all night, not the Barbara part, but the other part, and somehow you gave me an opportunity. Wonderful. Great job. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad. And maybe for your creative moment, you might think about how poets are looked at in this world, because a few of us do not think like other people. I mean, we just don't. And because of that, sometimes people do give people strange looks. And one of my good friends just mentioned that he was getting strange looks.
You tell him to put some pants on? that's usually what's going on when I'm getting strange looks.
And so maybe you could talk about the fact that poets don't think of the world in the same way as other people do.
Sure.
Okay. You could give kind of examples of how poets and creative people think of things that other people do not. You know, like, for instance, people look at a flower and they just see a pretty flower, you know, and they move on, but poets see a world in there. Absolutely.
You know, it's true. I remember at one point realizing that a lot of people, when they wanted to feel happy, wanted to go see a happy movie. And when people wanted to feel, you know, wanted to feel romantic and love, you know, they would go see a romantic movie. And for me, I'm thinking, I go see depressing movies and feel amazing. It's like, it's just, even that is a beginning of seeing the world differently.
Yes, it is. It's very different. And occasionally this difference really kind of gets you into trouble because it's like you have one idea the person next to you as another, and you can't quite mix them. They just don't mix.
Yeah.
You're trying to explain something, and they just have no clue what you're talking about. Because you're thinking in images, and they're thinking in terms of reality. And it's just, you know. Anyway, that's an idea.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. That's a great idea. I'll definitely be thinking about that and seeing if I can use it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So glad I got the opportunity to give you your chance.
Yeah, you gave me my Tolkien chance. That's fantastic.
I should get some kind of, like on Groucho Marx, you know, if you say the secret word.
You get a
used
what?
You to have that bird come down. And if the person said the secret word, one of the celebrities or one of the other people,
he always
had a celebrity, and they would get $100.
Well, I'm not doing the $100 thing, Barbara. Nice try. But we could do the thing that Pee Wee Herman did, where if you said the secret word, everybody just goes like this. Ah! How about that?
Okay.
That was real. I didn't just make that up. That was a thing, wasn't it?
That was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was Pee Wee.
Yep.
I know. I know. I used to watch Pee Wee here.
Used to being the operative term, unfortunately. All right. Barbara, thank you very much.
Care. Have a great week, and letting the other people get on so they can give us the awesome work we always hear. All right.
Thank you,
good
Barbara.
Good night. Goodbye. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, laying it down and giving me some Tolkien opportunities there.
It was really creepy, too.
The moment she started, you guys looked at me like, what in the world? Yeah, it was pretty strange. All right, let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, and visit with one of our favorite poets and one of our naturalist poets, Cynthia. Cynthia, are you there? I can hear that. Cynthia, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. Please hang up and call right back. We might be having that issue on Skype again. At least I hope that's the issue. We'll see. I bet that's what's going on. Anyway, so JT, you're starting school this next
Tuesday.
I'm really excited to hear what you think about the whole scenario and how it all kind of plays out.
Yeah, I will definitely let you know.
What kind of classes are you taking? Just start out.
I'm actually taking business communication.
Okay.
An intro to PC applications.
Oh, the stuff they're making you take, the requirements.
Yeah, I'm taking these little requirements first before getting into my cybersecurity.
Sounds great. All right. Hey, it looks like we have Cynthia now on the line. Cynthia, are you there?
I am.
Oh, perfect. We can hear you now. This is the best way. Okay, awesome. So it's been a great show tonight so far. I've really enjoyed it.
I know, it's been wonderful. I love the variety of poets that you have from all over. It's a really nice blend.
It really is, isn't it? And, you know, we always appreciate when you call and love your work as well. So I'm going to step back and once again give you the stage and we'll just talk after.
Okay, so I'm doing one short poem that I wrote, and then I'm going to end with a haiku by Mary Crane Fahey. This one I wrote, I chose it for tonight because it got an honorable mention in the White Rock and Surrey Writers Contest, which really surprised me because it's so small. But the poet laureate said she chose it because the stanzas are like haiku. So I just wrote these couple of thoughts last year when I was snowed in. We had a huge snowfall, and it was over Christmas, and I was just reading Twitter poets. There are people who just go on Twitter and write 140 characters at a time, and whenever I can't sleep, I just get up in the night and read them. And so this was written for them, and it's dedicated to them. It's called Silent Gray. Snowed in with poetry, an open window on the night sky, dances with trees, the movement of verse through my heartbeat. And that's the end of my poem. And I'm going to do a cover of Mary Crane Fahey's haiku. Sky, dark in blood, lit by gauzy silk, saffron bands tight around full moon. End poem.
Both lovely pieces.
And Mary amazes me with how much she gets into a haiku. Like her first line has darkened and lit. And not a you know, not a cliche kind of dark, and it's dark in blood. And then we have the gauzy silk, and then we have saffron band, so you can see that picture of the moon.
Absolutely.
So I'm really honored to get to cover her work.
That is it's beautiful stuff, and thank you for sharing it with us. It's really a pleasure.
So thanks for having me on, and
of course.
On with the show.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia Kahn from Vancouver, British Columbia. Man. That's one point she's made. I think it's really true. Is the show has a lot of colors and a lot of feelings to it. It goes from everywhere from a I don't know. Would you say a light puce to a vermilion?
Totally.
Yep.
That worked.
All right. Let's go to Alabama and let's go visit Stan. Hopefully the Skype thing here works, huh? Oh no.
I'm hearing it.
Hey, Stan, if you can hear us, I don't think we can hear you. Let's try again. Can you hang up and give us a call right back? We're getting this Skype thing going on. The Skype machine is being malfunctional. JT.
Skype, what is your major malfunction?
That's the problem. Skype is a program, and it can't talk. JT, we're going to have to figure this thing out. Maybe we'll get a couple tool belts, go knocking around this computer here, throwing it around, teaching it who's boss.
Okay.
He usually fixes software problems.
Yeah, totally. Hammers.
Yeah.
Drills.
Yeah. Drills. Drills.
Magnets.
Yep. A grill. You can try to coerce it with some food.
We could try.
No, that's how we do that to you. That's how we coerce you.
You know, it's weird. I don't think I've ever been coerced by food, but I have definitely been influenced by food.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, here is Stan calling from Alabama. Hey, Stan, you there?
Yeah. I got a way to solve it. Hit it with a bigger hammer.
That's what I'm thinking. Then again, hammers are all the tools I have.
It may not. I've always heard if it won't fit, hit it with a bigger hammer, and if it breaks, it was going to be replaced anyway.
I like that thought.
That's it.
Perfect. Perfect. What do you have for us this time?
Well, I'll tell you what I've got. I've got a nice little haiku.
Okay.
And then I've got a poem. It's only five stanzas, three lines each, but all five are haikus.
Oh, how cool is that? Okay. Well, the floor is yours. We'll talk after.
Yeah, and all right. We'll just do the single first. Smoke gray before dawn. Sky ignites auburn and red. A world awakens. And now this one is titled, You Are Not Alone. When in your darkness, you think there is no one there, you are not alone. When you are in pain and you think that no one cares, you are not alone. If within a crowd, you sense your isolation, you are not alone. If you see the world with eyes of desolation, you are not alone. The one loves your soul, even past oblivion. You are not alone. In peace.
That was a beautiful, beautiful piece, Stan.
Thank you.
And a great read, as always.
Well, believe it or not, that was one of the first pieces I actually wrote.
Really?
When I started into poetry. Yeah, because I was very much into haiku.
Okay.
Because I love that discipline of that 575.
Absolutely.
And I thought, oh, I like this because, you know, it makes you think. It makes you condense and try to put as much as you can into as few as you words as you can. And
absolutely.
I enjoyed that, the brevity of it. But then I got to playing with it, and I thought, well, why couldn't that be a stanza?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how that came about.
How cool is that, actually?
I like it.
Yeah, very, very much, Stan. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Guys, thank you so much for all of this.
You got it. Anytime.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you next time, okay?
And that goes for you, too, Cynthia. That goes for Christine, too.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan.
I know you're back. I heard you laughing before. Oh. I know you're there.
Oh, she's here. She's here. All right. Thanks
a great
lot.
Evening.
You too, Stan. Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. He got his second set of poetry in the evening. We only have two more here, guys. We're going to make this count because these are two heavy hitters. These are two great, great poets we love having on the show.
I have that funny feeling that it's going to be the same.
It very well might be. Let's try with George.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, George, you there? Okay, it's exactly the same thing. Hey, George, we've kept you on hold this whole time. I'm so sorry, but we can't hear you if you can hear us. So hang up and give us a call right back. It'll fix the problem. It's a software issue. We're still trying to figure out how to make it work. All right, I think Perfect. He heard us. He's doing just fine. By the way, Mary, if you're listening, you might as well just hang up, too. We're probably going to have you call right back. Yeah. No need.
You're right after George.
Yeah, so, yeah. No need worrying about it. In fact, in the future, we might do that. Let's just do a live. Okay. Hello, George, you there?
I sure am.
All right, we can hear you now. Sorry better? About that.
Great.
You're on the air now.
Okay, good.
All right, perfect. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I got a two little haikus and a short poem.
All right.
I'm sort of new to haiku, in fact, real new. And so this, everything I read about it said keep it simple, and my brain's able to do that, keep things simple. So here it is. Here's the first one. Further down the shore, another sunset watcher loses his copper glow. And then on weathered park bench, beneath a wrinkled chestnut, he watches the past. Okay, and that's the end of those. This poem I may have read one other time. I just can't remember if I read it here on World Poetry, but it's called Night Winds. They are heard through doors and windowsills. These night winds have brought their chills. A bit of song, a trace of danger, at times a friend, at times a stranger. They bear foreboding, they carry rain. They prattle up my window pane. I venture out for confirmation and only see leaf liberation. Back to my chair, my book is there. Night winds are common, no need to care. But night winds prove my jurisdiction is just a part of my own fiction. The shutters shook and branches fell. The winds which come know me too well. End of poem.
Very, very nice. Wow.
Well, it's simple.
No, the simplicity is the thing. I mean, I really do love when we force constraints on ourselves. There's some real creativity that gets activated, and I think that's one of the best pieces about haiku.
Thank you. I like haiku. I'm going to try to write more of it. I read too much critique of it to understand it. So I'm just going to go back to the 575 and simplicity and the nature and the twist at the end and keep that as my formula.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it works beautifully.
Yep.
George,
yes. Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everything. Thanks for calling and for everything you shared. It's always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And see you next week.
Wonderful. We'll see you then. Thank you, George. And that was George calling from Michigan, the poetry state, home of Dennis and Chris and George, of course, and Ellie.
No.
Isn't Ellie from? I thought.
PA.
Who else was in Michigan then? So there was Dennis, there was Chris. I thought Ellie was, but I just forgot. You're right, it was PA.
David.
Oh, that's right.
George.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Okay. Anyway, we'll figure that out off the air.
Mary, call now.
All right, Mary, yeah, give us a call. We have you in the next slot. So let's go for it here. All right.
Yeah.
So this next week we'll actually be having a segment talking about poetry. I'm not going to tell you who the special guest is. We have to talk about this, JT.
Yeah, I know.
We're working out. Good. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's Mary. She's calling. Hello, Mary.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, hello, hello. You are now on the air. We can hear you loud and clear.
I remember when my maiden name was Strike, and I was a damn good... I'm sorry. I can say that now.
Yeah, you're fine.
I was a darn slash damn good athlete about whatever I did, and my name was Strike. So when I got to the bat, just imagine how I looked at that picture.
Of course.
Just imagine how I looked at him. Come on, give me your best shot. Never did I strike out as long as I played the ball. Now, if you make me play today, we might all laugh a thousand laughs. But we're not there anymore. I'm 56, so I'm going to do a song that I wrote. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Looking forward to the song.
Here we go, then. It's a little lovey thing I did. I wrote it in the last couple of weeks, and I'm putting songs together. They please me a little more and more. I hope you guys like it. I'm going to name this The Nights We Ran the Sky. Nights we ran the sky, my love. Seasons know no better call, no aching heart. Captain, one another, different climb. When we ran the sky, my love, the air of weather, feet and things went up like morning dew evaporate. And our sun melted away like uncertainty. When our hearts melted and melted, we found our eyes deeply in each other's thoughts and souls. When our hearts melted and melted, and we found our eyes deeply in each other's souls. How lovely that. When we ran the sky, my love, and new stars became friends. With all our adoration, my God. We began a new each time with our dress in a twine and juniper and golden threaded fragrance of all that derivation. Surrounding beauty of us forever. When we ran the sky. Beautifully done. I really, really enjoyed the singing in that one. There's some really, really nice stuff going on there. Yeah, I got three octaves, but they're low. They're low to not so great in the evening. I wish you saw me on a really good day, and there were 10,000 of you, and then I'd bow and I'd curtsy, and I'd put on my pretty black skirt.
But if there's 9,000, you're not doing any of that stuff, right?
If there's one, I do it the same. For myself, I do it about the same.
But really, when I think of you listening to me, I do it better. Don't we all?
You know what? I think that's true. I think that's true. And you definitely do a great job. Thank you.
You're welcome. I thank you for the honor of being here and listening to all of you. So on we go.
It's our pleasure.
I'll listen. Night-night.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Mary calling from Arizona, playing a beautiful song, finishing out the night. It's been a beautiful show. I want to say thank you to everybody, to JT, to Christine, to Novia, the studio cat, to Ursa, the studio dog, to all of our poets, all of our listeners. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you next time. Good night.